Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, part of the IndieFeed.com network, a weekly radio show where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On the show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with Chris Raske of Explosions in the Sky. Chris discusses the band's decision to relocate to Midland for writing, their involvement with the soundtrack to Friday Night Lights, and the stories behind future songs.
You know, after we did Friday Night Lights, everyone, you know, the producers of the movie and the music supervisors, they all kind of say, oh, you're going to have, you're going to be getting offers left and right to do movies from now on. Which has definitely not been the case.
The band has recently re-released their debut record, How Strange, Innocence, originally released limitedly on CDRs, and also an EP as part of a temporary residence traveling constant series. Here's a snippet of First Breath After Coma from the 2003 release, The Earth Is Not a Cold Dead Place. Will be playing in late January in Houston and Austin before taking a touring break and working aggressively on their next record. For The Earth Is Not a Cold Dead Place, the band relocated to Midland, where you wrote most of the record. Is the same process happening for future recordings?
I don't know. We've kind of talked about that before. For this new record, we kind of wanted to go to South Dakota, which is where Michael's mother lives, this spring, to just kind of go there for a few weeks and just write stuff, but I don't think that's going to happen now because she's not going to be there and all this kind of thing. But that's definitely something that we, you know, would like to do again, to kind of just sort of distance ourselves from our homes and our friends and girlfriends and all that and wives and stuff, and just kind of hole up and in a different environment and work on stuff. But whether or not we will, I don't know. But it's definitely something we talk about. It was really good for us, I think, to do that for the last record in Midland.
Yeah. What was it about Midland that worked as a creative spark?
Well, the three other guys in the band, that's where they grew up. They all grew up in Midland. And I think it was just, but they didn't really know anybody there anymore. And I think it was just the idea of going somewhere where there were really no distractions and there's not a whole lot of stuff to do in terms of, you know, bands or doing anything like that, and we were just able to live pretty cheaply, get like cheap apartments and a really cheap practice space, and just kind of disappear for a while and for 2 or 3 months, and just we would only see each other every day, and we'd practice, you know, 8 hours every day, and just kind of shut ourselves off from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And you know, there's some, even just sort of landscape-wise, like we would go out to the Monahans, which is like these sand dunes outside of Midland. We'd go there like 2 in the morning and just be pitch black, and it would be like, you know, it's like being on Tatooine or something. It was just this crazy, surreal landscape, and we'd just sit out there and talk and kind of talk about what we, you know, what we wanted the music to be like and what we were trying to do. And but I think mostly just to cut ourselves off from everything else here in Austin. And I don't know, it seemed to work well.
Do you think that isolation had an influence on the sounds on the record?
Yeah, I think it did. I think being isolated like that definitely played a part in how the record ended up, or how the songs ended up sounding. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, how exactly, but I mean, just in the fact that we were isolated and these were the songs that came out of it, you know, if we were in Austin, we probably would not have written those same songs. But it's always hard when people, you know, ask like how something influenced you or how this worked or that worked, and it's just sort of, it's really hard to answer. It just sort of kind of happened that way, and I think the environment always is going to dictate, you know, how you're going to play or what you're thinking about or what you want to listen to or what you want to write and those sorts of things. So, yeah, I definitely think being isolated like that, it just gave us, you know, we had nothing else to focus on. So it allowed us to just really kind of get lost in it and push ourselves as much as we could.
In other interviews, it's been mentioned that the band is very detached from the Austin music world. What is the attraction to stay in Austin?
You know, when it says that we're detached, it's definitely, we don't mean it in some sort of like, oh, we don't care about Austin music scene or we're above that or something. It just happens, it just means we're not the most social of people. We don't really go out a whole lot, so we're not really, we don't really necessarily feel connected to a certain scene in Austin. But I think at the same time, we do have a lot of friends here, and, you know, there's just, it's just a nice city to live in, and, like, I don't think any of us would want to live in Midland, you know, permanently, so there's just a lot of stuff here, just little things that, you know, I like the movie theaters in Austin, or there's places to eat that I like, and also just the fact that we, you know, most of our friends live here, and, but at the same time, you know, we don't really know a whole lot of bands in Austin or don't really, we're not, we don't really hang out with other bands or anything. And again, not out of like, we don't want to, or we don't like other bands. It's just kind of the way we are. We just sort of keep to ourselves a bit for better or for worse.
Since your band has said before that film influences your work, have you been glad to have your music featured in films?
Yeah, definitely. Having, you know, writing music for a movie or having songs in movies is something, you know, that was always, you know, always kind of been a dream of ours. And, you know, when we were asked to do the Friday Night Lights soundtrack, that was just, you know, we were all very familiar with the story, particularly those three guys, because they kind of, they grew up in that environment. Mm. I mean, the whole, you know, that whole story takes place in Midland and Odessa, Texas. And I don't know, that was just something really exciting, just a crazy opportunity to do this. And, you know, we were really surprised by it, and it's definitely something we'd want to do again. And you know, whether or not we will, I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, after we did Friday Night Lights, everyone, you know, the producers of the movie and the music supervisors, they all kind of say, "Oh, you're going to have, you know, you're going to be getting offers left and right to do movies from now on," which has definitely not been the case. So, but hopefully, at some point, we could do that again. But yeah, that was definitely kind of a big milestone for us, I think, something we'd all wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't, you know, a perfect situation to be in. There were definitely problems involved, but for the most part, we were really happy with how that turned out. So,
was there hesitation to have the songs, like, mentally fused to these moments in film?
Yeah, well, that was kind of that was a big deal with us, because we were hired for this movie to write all original music for it. And that's what we went out. We recorded it all in Los Angeles, and for like a month we went there and just watched the movie and played along with it and wrote all this new stuff. But they had been kind of editing the movie, just sort of temporary edits using our existing songs. And the director just got so used to seeing the footage with these older songs of ours that, you know, when we'd play a new piece for him for a particular scene, he just couldn't help but like our older songs fused with that scene instead, just because I think he got used to it and was used to seeing it that way. So that was a big problem, because we were very hesitant to license or to have them use songs from our records, just because you know, they were not written for that. You know what I mean? They were not written for scenes of football players and things like that.
Yeah.
But we did eventually agree to do it, and you know, it ended up being about half of it was like pre-existing songs of ours, and half of it was new stuff we had written. I think we'd all would have rather have it be all new stuff. And but it was our decision, and we did make the decision to let them use some of our old songs. So
yeah. For the Temporary Residents Travel in Constant series, the band recorded tracks quickly and then strongly enjoyed those recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an approach you guys have applied for future recordings as well?
I don't know. It worked really well for that, and we're just really happy with the results. There's definitely on that record, there's some things that we're not 100% in love with, but there's a lot of stuff on there that we really are happy with. And this past summer, we tried kind of doing that again, just working on stuff and recording demos and just kind of working really quickly. And to be honest, for the most part, you know, we recorded probably, I don't know how many different songs or parts of songs, and after the summer, we just kind of went through it all, and it was all, we weren't happy with any of it. So right now, we're kind of back to our old method of just kind of really taking our time and in a way sort of agonizing over songs a bit. And whether or not that's going to remain the case for the next several months as we try to write this record, I don't know. I would personally like to be able to kind of incorporate that method a little bit more and maybe, you know, just sort of do stuff without having to think about it too much. But it's hard to say, like, every song that we write is written in such a different way. So, but as it stands right now, we're kind of going back to our old method of things, of just really taking a long time to craft each little song and, you know, arguing about it and criticizing it, trying to make it better and stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, we're also open to trying other things. So we'll see what happens over the next few months and try to finish writing the record or the next record.
Yeah. I know that the band sees these songs as stories.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the stories that are behind the songs that you're writing right now?
Well, to be honest, and, you know, maybe this is, I don't know. There is a song that we were kind of writing when the Katrina thing came on. And I hate this, you know, we also had a song on the last record about the Russian submarine and stuff, and I feel stupid saying that we, you know, write songs about these horrible tragedies in the news, but it was just while this event was going on, you know, everyone was sort of glued to their TV and just following it. It was just, we happened to be working on the song, and we even talked about it, sort of influenced the way we kind of approached the song. And so I would say that that's, you know, sort of a true story that kind of has seeped its way into a song. Whether or not that song makes it to the album, I don't know.
Listening to IndieInterviews.com, part of the IndieFeed.com network, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guest today, Explosions in the Sky, can be found on their website, explosionsinthesky.com. Music samples in the show are from their record, The Earth is Not a Cold Dead Place, available on Temporary Residents. For information on this release, visit temporaryresidents.com. Visit IndieFeed.com for a complete track of Explosions in the Sky. For more information, including a transcription to this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in this production, send your thoughts to indieinterviews@indieinterviews.com. Thanks again, and see you next week.